the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight deceit.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It's now become a familiar cycle in the news. Parents go to a school board meeting. They want to see to it that their children are not being exposed to what amounts to pornographic books in the library or even in the classroom, books that are inevitably pushing the LGBTQ agenda. Well, activists from the other side show up. They call names. Sometimes it even gets violent. And of course, in the end, the news coverage will tell us that these parents are somehow trying to harm their own children or stunt their growth or restrict their freedom. So why is it that the LGBTQ activists often target children, schools, and places where children are? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about LGBTQ activism and children, Joy Pullman. She's executive editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Why Does the Left Insist LGBT Activism Means Exposure to Kids? Joy, welcome back.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
So what recently happened to a video game content creator over his comments, I believe on Twitter, about LGBTQ activism?
Yes, they were on Twitter. So this fellow who contributes kind of like add-ons to the game Call of Duty, really popular video game, he commented on Twitter about an event that happened last week where Armenian parents were complaining about their public schools wanting to sponsor sexual programming for Pride Month to their kids. And so he commented on a video about those parents objecting to that, basically saying, leave the kids alone. And for that, his Call of Duty contributions were booted from the company's store. So basically, he can't make any more money off of the things that he added to the game.
What message does Call of Duty's actions here send?
Well, it's a little confusing what message it sends. I know that they intend to send the message, and they did this explicitly, basically saying, you know, we support Pride Month and everything else that goes along with it. And, you know, that's a value of our company. So that's the kind of explicit message that they wish to send. But the weird kind of implicit message that they are also sending is that they don't support protecting children from sexual content and information. That's kind of like they're saying two things at once. One of them, of course, is the subtext. And that subtext is that the company seems to believe that it is pro-LGBT to sexually target children. So that's a really unusual message.
So give us some more examples of this. It's amazing how many there are.
I wrote this article because I had just, you know, every year, you know, we're in June right now. And so every year I kind of see this crop up, and it's one of those weird things that's bothered me for a long time. This, again, implicit assumption in allegedly pro-LGBT messaging that an intrinsic part of being pro-LGBT is providing explicit sexual information and imagery to children. So this year is no exception to that sort of message being very clearly conveyed. And it seems to me that that communication is getting even more clearer. I mean, maybe it's just me that I just kind of tuned in a little better this year. Maybe it's not. So another example that I noticed just a couple of weeks ago was when I was reading a letter from the Biden Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education. They were writing to a school district in Georgia basically filing what they claim is a civil rights complaint against the school district for considering removing pornographic books from their school library. So the Biden administration's explicit argument was that taking pornography out of public school libraries is actually harassment and creating a non-supportive environment for LGBT kids. I mean, so it's, again, very weird, but like they made a direct connection. They basically are saying that like someone who has an LGBT identity requires pornography in order to keep maintaining or to assume that identity. Again, it's kind of shocking how explicit that is. It's right there in the letter. I quote it in the article.
When it comes to some of these events, like the drag queen story hours and things like that, mm-hmm. some defend targeting children with sexual content by saying that the parents themselves bring their children to these events. How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't think that argument would hold any water, for example, if it were applied to the last subject that we talked about, you and I, on issues, child abuse. You know, nobody says that because parents decide to hit their kids with a 2x4, you know, that that is actually okay. So it's clear that parents can't just do whatever that they want to children, and it's obviously wrong. It's at least as wrong for a parent to abuse his child physically as it is for him to abuse them sexually by, for example, showing them pornography. Both of those are completely, they're abdications of the parental responsibility to protect their children from evil. So, however, you know, this argument from the left was used to say, you know, oh, well, it's okay for these kids to be shown pornography going to drag queen story hours. So, for example, I mean, just the, I think it was just a day or two ago, maybe yesterday, the Biden White House held a LGBT event in which there were, I'm trying to keep this PG, you know, for folks, because I have kids at home too. Sometimes they hear what's on my podcast. So, but what happened at the event was nudity from performers where children were present. You know, so this was, again, an LGBT themed event that involved nudity by people there celebrating this identity in front of children. And this was featured as absolutely part of the celebration of being LGBT, is, you know, showing kids what really is doesn't belong to be shown to kids or anybody else, frankly. So it's just not the case that parents can do whatever they want to their kids, including showing them pornography. That's a ridiculous argument. And I think it's very telling that the same people who have made this argument, for example, in the Washington Post and other publications, they say, well, it's okay, you know, because the parents are the ones choosing to bring these kids to show them pornography. They only support parental rights when it includes showing kids pornography, but then they're against parental rights when the parents refuse to show their kids LGBT pornography, right? So you notice that the common thread here is not the parental, so-called parental rights, but the common thread is they support whatever results in showing pornography to children. So again, that's very telling. And so don't be confused by someone claiming that, oh, somehow this is pro-parent to endorse parents abusing their children. What it really is pro-child abuse.
How are those targeting children in these cases reacting to the passage of laws? And now we're talking about dozens in various states against mm-hmm. these kind of activities.
Well, as I just mentioned, right, the Biden administration is using all the administrative bureaucratic tools at its disposal to stop these laws. So in conjunction with that White House event featuring LGBT nudity to children, I can't believe I'm saying these words. In conjunction with that event, the Biden White House announced a czar of making sure that children have access to pornography. Of course, that's not what they call it, right? They call it LGBT affirming. But the point is that they have announced that they have appointed a person whose job it is to wage regulatory war against states that restrict the showing and the sale and the transmission of pornography to children. And again, you know, because I want to be respectful of people who might have little kids in the room, you can go, you know, to my article. I put in it a few, even there, I tried to be lighter than reality. But these books that the Biden administration is going to bat for, when I say pornography, I mean, that is a kind definition of it. They feature, let's say, non-consensual acts with minors. They describe different kinds of acts between human beings that involve their private parts. I don't think I need to say any more, but I mean, these are extremely explicit, trash, garbage books that never should be published and nobody should buy. And they're, you know, not worth you know, the paper that they're printed on, they're just, you know, just straight up pornography, you know, from the pits of hell, describing horrific things. And I, again, no adult should read these books, let alone children. But the Biden administration, among others, you know, there's lawsuits being placed against these states from activists, you know, so there's a full court press to require states, public schools, public libraries to be putting on the shelves these obscene books and give them especially to children.
Joy Pullman is our guest. We're talking about LGBTQ activism and children. When we come back, why does she think LGBTQ activists so often target kids? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about LGBTQ activism and children with Joy Pullman, executive editor of The Federalist. You won't find any LGBTQ activism at Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran provides a classical Lutheran education for students pre-K through 12th grade. They also offer online classes with student-teacher interaction for high school students worldwide. Find out about registering for the 2023-24 school year at flsplano.org, Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Joy, why do you think it is that LGBTQ activists so often target kids?
I'm just going to be quite honest here, and I know this is not politically correct to say, but it's the obvious truth. There's kind of, one, the nice way to say it, and two, the not as nice way to say it. The nicer way to say it is that basically, the LGBT identity is entirely, the only thing that separates it from any other thing is obviously sexual behavior, right? So you cannot talk about one of those identities without talking about sex. So if you're going to explain anything related to LGBT things to children, you have to be talking about sex with children. So you're already breaching what ought to be boundaries. Like a decade ago, two decades ago, beyond that, it was considered completely creepy, suspicious, weird evidence of a majorly warped morality and psyche to be talking about sex with anybody else's kids. But now, apparently, if you don't do that, you're a bigot. That's crazy. So that's the nice way to put it, is simply that this identity is entirely centered on sexuality, sexual behavior, what you do with your genitals. And so you have to talk about sex to talk about it. Therefore, if you talk with kids about it, you have to talk about sex with kids, which frankly just should be taboo. Nobody should be talking about sex with kids besides their parents. So that's the nice way. The not so nice way to put it is, I cite this in my article, you know, there is research showing that exposure to pornography helps push people in an LGBT direction sexually. People who are pornography addicts are the same as every other addict, right? Once you get addicted, you eventually need greater and greater dopamine hits to kind of fuel that addiction. That's kind of the basis of an addiction, is you get in this cycle of you need worse and harder stuff. So that happens with a heroin addict. It happens with marijuana addicts, with drugs. You don't do it as often, as frequently, and at as high levels in the beginning. And then, you know, later you just are amping it up and amping it up. And the same is true of pornography. In the article that I linked to, and again, I'm trying to figure out how to be as respectful as possible of people's souls here while still communicating the generalities. But basically, you know, the explosion in these, especially the transgender identities, but all of them, is absolutely linked to the increase in pornography consumption, because people who see that stuff from the pit of hell, the more that they see it, the more weirder stuff that they want. And so I think I can just leave it right there. But that's not only intuitively obvious, but it also happens to be backed up by research. I guess the conclusion there is how this ties back to kids, right? Is if you get them hooked when they're young, you can influence their sexual behavior in the future. So this is really transparently a recruitment effort. Showing sex to kids is an attempt to recruit them into sexual behaviors.
You have written about these attempts to remove pornographic books and other books pushing sex on kids. Yesterday, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed an order making it illegal to do so in his state. What's your reaction?
Well, I guess you can probably get the gist of that, you know, from the rest of the earlier part of this interview. I mean, again, what this governor is doing is saying that the state of Illinois is going to fund the sexual grooming of children and is going to essentially make it mandatory to use public schools and public libraries in that effort. I would say that it's shocking, but Illinois and many other states have really demonstrated that they don't really care about shocking behavior, right? I mean, these are states that allow essentially abortion up to birth, other atrocities. So what's another atrocity on the list? This is really the result of people hardening their hearts. The majority of people in some states hardening their hearts to gross evils. Therefore, their wickedness is increasing.
Is the attempt to sexualize children, is it integral to the LGBTQ agenda, or is it just a fringe going too far? Is it a bug, or is it a feature?
You know, for a Christian, I think if you start from that orientation, which of course you and I in this program do, it makes perfect sense that there would be pornography required to fuel and amplify behaviors that violate what God says is the best thing for people and what is good for us. It's also true, for example, if you just, and I don't do this often, but you know, the things that you can't help but seeing just living in this culture, this increasingly disgusting culture, for example, you know, homosexuality is very youth-centric, beauty-centric, body-centric, et cetera, right? So, I mean, that is even in transparent public things that I've seen on billboards, right? I don't go looking for that sort of thing, but people know that that's a part of it, right? So I know, of course, there are many gay, lesbian, even transgender people who courageously, publicly will say, look, this is not meant for kids, sex is for adults, and so forth. You know, so there are some people that do, out of a noble effort, obviously, to protect children and recognize at least some limits on that. There's some people who are willing to do that, but they are not given the megaphone. They are not the driving engines of LGBT activism. Their voices are not heeded. And I don't think that's an accident.
Finally, you did mention earlier the event at the White House, the Pride Party that the president and the first lady hosted there on the lawn of the White House. Today, a White House spokesman kind of had to condemn the fact that several transgender activists posted those topless photos from the White House lawn during that event hosted by the president. How does that fit into our conversation?
I mean, I think that's kind of a meaningless statement to condemn what they're requiring to be shown to children in public school libraries. Again, like I said, if anyone is interested, if they doubt what I'm saying, go ahead and look up some of the books that are on the, you know, American Library Association's so-called top banned list. Get them out of your local library. Again, I would guard my soul about it. I wouldn't do a deep dive here. But like, if you really don't believe me, go ahead. These are explicit, obscene, pornographic books. They are not, you know, meant to be children. And I would just dare the White House, you know, if they think that that shouldn't be shown visually to children, why should it be described to them? I would dare the president or First Lady Jill Biden, as my colleague David Harsanyi wrote on the Federalist a day or two ago, go ahead, read those books in public, right? Reading those books in public is more obscene than this topless photo that they condemn. So this is just kabuki theater pretending they don't support something that actually they are putting legal resources, the heavy hand of the federal government, into forcing public schools and public libraries to make available to children.
Joy Pullman is executive editor of The Federalist. She's author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, Why Does the Left Insist LGBT Activism Means Exposure to Kids? You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday, June the 13th, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Then Lyman Stone, research fellow for the Institute for Family Studies, joins us. We're going to talk about political views and the U.S. marriage rate. Turns out, as young women become more liberal and young men more conservative, they are not finding each other for marriage.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.